Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Kyle Bailey, Will Stewart, Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com. They join us every Friday for the second hour. Plenty more to get to. Don't forget Virginia Tech and Clemson tomorrow, 12 o'clock in Little John Coliseum. They're on the road. Myself and Bimbo Coles live from Bull and Bones in Blacksburg, 10:30 on air, previewing that one tomorrow. I don't know what to expect. I'm not sure. Clemson could be an NCAA tournament team.
You know, if they hadn't lost, who was it, Gardner Webb and Winthrop?
Yeah.
They would be 16-8 right now with an RPI probably in the 60s.
Yeah.
And they'd be right there on the cusp of the bubble with some winnable games coming up. Very winnable. They'd have a chance to get to 20 or 21 wins this year, have a chance to put themselves on the bubble.
Yeah.
But I think that they're early. They beat LSU in their non-conference schedule, and then they lost to Winthrop and Gardner-Webb.
Yeah. So they need at least one or two more quality wins.
Yeah. You know, well, they need to beat Duke and Notre Dame or Notre Dame or both or whatever down the stretch.
Yeah. And I actually think, you know, do they get Duke at home? I haven't looked. I wrote
the preview today, and I included that information, but I don't remember.
If they get Duke at home, I could see them beating Duke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Duke having a seven-man rotation, a young team. You can see them having an off shooting day, and you know, Clemson's a good defensive club.
I could see
that happening. But
yeah, I could too. You know, the good thing is they play Georgia Tech twice, and they've got Virginia Tech once, and that's at home. So if they win those three games, and if they win the games they're supposed to and then pull an upset, they can give themselves a chance going into the ACC tournament.
I don't want to get a tangent here, but how is Georgia Tech so dysfunctional?
Why are they not better? They're Georgia Tech. You grew up watching Georgia Tech basketball.
There's a lot of talent on the floor for them, but it just doesn't add up to much.
It doesn't add up to much. And first of all, I thought Brian Gregory would have been fired by now. They were so bad. Where they opened up 0-7 in conference, and I thought he was like interim head coach bad, that he wouldn't make it through the end of the season. And he's still there.
When you're a 28% three-point shooting team, and you're like 340th in the country in three-point percentage, out of 351 teams, that's as bad as it gets. They're
really
a worse three-point shooting team than Virginia Tech is a rebounding team, to put that in perspective.
Yeah. They're a worse three-point shooting team than Florida State.
Yeah, and then you take 19 three-pointers. What are you doing? Why? When Charles Mitchell's having his way inside.
Oh, Mitchell. Tech couldn't do anything about Mitchell.
No.
It was, I think, seven minutes left to go in the game. I think that Georgia Tech had, 18 or 19 offensive rebounds? And the number of offensive rebounds they had might have been surpassed Tech's total by six or seven rebounds. Something like that.
Yeah.
It was insane. But I just, again, a team in the heart of downtown Atlanta, you know, it's been in the ACC for as long as it has, and it used to be as good as it was. I just can't fathom how Georgia Tech can't. I mean, brand new arena.
Can't get it together. That thing is beautiful.
Yes, it is.
You remember that movie Searching for Bobby Fischer?
Yeah.
I think they're searching for Bobby Crimmins.
They might be searching for Bobby Crimmins. I like that. That's good. I was going to say they need a head coach, but they got one coming. Gregory's done this year.
Paul Hewitt could recruit, but he couldn't coach.
Right.
He'd make the NCAA tournament. He would get a couple of McDonald's All-Americans, and they'd be one and done.
Mm-hmm.
And that one year they would go to the NCAA tournament, and they'd be gone. And the next year they'd have a losing record. Then he'd recruit two more McDonald's All-Americans. Then he'd be in the NCAA tournament again. Then they'd be gone. Then he'd have a losing record. I mean, it was the same thing.
It's a lot of churn.
It really was.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a new coach after this year, most likely. But are they going to get the hire right? Because they haven't gotten it right the last two times.
Right. I don't know. There are enough candidates out there, I think. There are a lot of good young basketball coaches out there. I don't think Georgia Tech needs to go the up-and-comer route, though. You know, Georgia Tech has history. It's got some money. I mean, it's an appealing job for a lot of reasons.
It is too,
it's a really good job.
There's a lot of good recruits in the Atlanta area.
Yeah.
A lot of good recruits in the Atlanta area. I mean, you're in an urban environment. I mean, that's everything a basketball player wants, I think.
That's what I'm saying. You're in the best conference in the country, in one of the top five media markets in the country. What do you...
Yeah. I don't understand why they're not better.
Right. That's what I mean. There's no reason for that program not to be a perennial top half ACC team.
You know, they've got some pretty decent players on the team this year, but I look at them and feel like they should look better. They should have better players.
Yeah. Well, they should.
They should have a 7-foot center. They should have a 6'8 small forward who's going to the NBA.
Right.
They shouldn't have a redshirt freshman point guard who's 150 pounds.
They used to have all those
things.
On a yearly basis. People feared playing Georgia Tech.
Oh, they were loaded, yeah.
Yeah, but not anymore. Now that I can't figure it out.
Yeah, I can't either. I'm sitting here where you guys are talking, and I don't know the answer.
No, it's never made sense. I talking to my dad about it the other night. Usually when a team that's had success in the past goes downhill or, you know, something, you can pinpoint it. You can find at least, you know, one or two reasons that make sense. Nothing about it makes sense. Nothing about it makes sense.
You know, and you can trace everything to coaching hires.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Wake Forest. Wake Forest should be really good at basketball. I mean, I remember the Tim Duncan era, obviously, right. And those guys. And they were good under basketball until their coach died, mm-hmm. and they promoted Dino Gaudio. Not that they had a choice at that stage.
Right.
But, you know, he was able to recruit, but he would never get the most out of his players. And then they replaced him with just an awful, awful hire. The worst hire I've ever seen a major college make.
It really was.
I mean, it's one thing to hire James Johnson. You don't know what you're getting.
Right.
You don't know that he's going to be bad. You pretty much knew Jeff Bezdelic was going to be bad.
Yeah.
And they still hired him.
They did.
And if you look at their team, they look loaded. They look the part.
Yeah.
But they don't play the part. I'm still not sure they're that well coached. I thought Buzz really outcoached Manning down in that game earlier this year, but I just didn't have the horses.
Well, no, that was it. I mean, he did outcoach him. It was another one-possession game, and, you know, you just saw time and time again something you reference all the time out of timeouts. You know, set plays, you know, from the baseline. Your Tech got a ton of open looks.
Yeah.
Just didn't knock down enough of them. But you're right. I thought he outcoached him, too. I kind of am to a point now in the season where I'm watching the game, I'm at the game covering it in the here and now because that's what we do, but I'm also to a point now, and I think, Chris, you've talked about this before, watching this team up and down the floor on possessions wondering, is he going to play next year? Is he going to be here next year?
Yeah.
You know? And honestly, I look at a guy like Devin Wilson who jumps off the page at me first and foremost, Seth Allen's going to play next year. Yeah. Justin Robinson's going to be here. And I've seen Justin Robinson play in person. He's really good. He's really good. And, you know, you have to presume playing for a guy like Buzz, he's going to get a whole lot better pretty quickly. I don't know if Devin Wilson plays much next year. And you know, I don't know what they do. You know, it's really crowded. Where, you know, it's Jalen Hudson, who is very talented, obviously. But, you know, if your coach is openly telling the media you don't play hard enough, that's not really a good thing.
No. And in other interviews, Buzz has said, I'm not a patient man.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Start connecting things.
Right, exactly. So you just you think, you're like, how much is that guy going to play? The guys in the front court are safe. They got to play next year. This guy's got to play. Kerry Blackshear is going to give him some help. Zach Ledé is going to give him some help. But Zach Ledé is not really big.
Mm-mm.
He's not a really big guy.
He's a tweener.
Yeah. But, I mean, that backcourt, man, Chris Clark's going to play next year.
Oh, absolutely.
He's going to play next
year.
Major
minutes.
Yeah. I don't know if Justin Robinson plays major minutes, but he's going to play.
He's going to play. It all depends on who comes back and who doesn't.
Right.
Seth Allen played 29.7 minutes per game at Maryland last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play 30 or more minutes a game at Virginia Tech. And most of them are going to come at the one position because Virginia Tech has plenty of twos and threes on this team. He played off the ball some at Maryland. I don't think he's going to play off the ball much, if at all.
Which is why he's here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's kind of why he's here. I don't really believe there's such a thing. There's very few true point guards these days, just like there are very few true centers and things like that. He's not a true point guard. He's going to be a lead scoring guard for Virginia Tech, but he's going to play the one, and he's going to play it between 30 and 33 minutes a game, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Probably some games 35 minutes, depending on who we're playing. Devin Wilson, he can't play wing. He's not going to be able to play wing because he's not a scoring threat, to be quite honest.
No.
And you need scoring threats at wing. So what does that do to his minutes? Will he be open to accepting a role that takes him from 30 minutes a game to 10 or less?
Or less, yeah.
Yeah. Devin's a guy that I wonder, too, if with better talent around him,
right.
If his game isn't raised. You know, mm-hmm. So I want to be fair to Devin because I've seen him play really well in the past.
Sure.
As have you guys, but I just wonder if, you know, with a better crop of talent around him, having seen his toughness, you know, having seen his, you know, double-digit assist games, knowing that he's got pretty decent floor vision, still can't shoot, but I thought that had gotten better, but I don't think that's the case necessarily. I don't know, man. Then Adam Smith. I mean, Adam Smith's a guy, we talk about it. Have you ever seen anybody with that much lift on his jump shot?
Really, he
gets off the floor, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he has blocked shots from behind this year
right.
where he's way off the floor. And he can levitate. I think he's a tremendous athlete. He's way underrated as an athlete because he's just so small.
Yeah.
You know? I really like Adam Smith. Now, whether or not I really like him, whether or not there's a place for him in the future is two different things. But that's a guy I've really enjoyed watching play.
Me too. And some people say, yeah, but he's, you know, he's averaging however many points a game, and he's giving you multiple 20-point games this year. He can obviously score. Well, those things are good, you know, and I think he's going to play next year. But how much, I think, is a legitimate question because he's not a great defender.
He's not a great defender, and he doesn't do things like get on the floor for loose balls. He's not that type of player.
Right.
He has a scorer's mentality, and that's it. And a lot of guys are like that. But here's the main thing is, you know, he's 5'9". He's generally listed at 6'1", but he's 5'9 or 5'10".
Mm-hmm.
Seth Allen's about 6 feet. can you play those two guys in the backcourt together against ACC competition? Yeah. And if Seth Allen is your best player and he's on the court for 30 minutes and you can't play those guys together, what does that mean for Adams?
Yeah, that's it.
Is he going to accept a 10 to 15 minute per game role after playing 30?
I kind of think he has to at this point.
Right. You know, he's going to have to.
Yeah, yeah, he's already transferred once.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. It's a legitimate question. So, I mean, and with Chris Clark, I mean, this kid, again, I've talked about it in these terms. I think he's Deron Washington with a better set of ball skills already. I watched, again, and I was actually really fortunate when I was up that day at DeMatha waiting to leave the country that, you know, Giannotto from the Washington Post calls and he says, you know, I'm at the Ty Lawson, Victor Oladipo camp. You may get your credential. And I was like, well, I got 10 hours to kill, certainly. So I ran over there and just got lucky that Justin Robinson and Chris Clark were playing on the same team. And just to see them get up and down the floor together, and Chris Clark specifically, you know, his ability to, of course, be in transition and to finish and fly all over the court, but to close out on shooters, you know, being seemingly completely out of range. I mean, just the athleticism is through the roof.
He's got a motor, man.
Oh, my
That's
goodness.
That's the main thing.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, and so the kid's going to play is the moral of the story. And so I keep coming back to something. There was a blog, I think, Duke Basketball Report?
DBR, yeah.
Did you guys read that the other day?
Yeah.
They wrote a piece basically saying that, you know, Buzz Williams is fast-tracking the revival of Virginia Tech basketball.
Yeah, they were very complimentary.
Very much
and
so.
And DBR is not a publication to be complimentary to Virginia Tech.
No. No.
Going back to the Seth Greenberg case, you could imagine they were not
Seth
fans.
I will say this. I think Buzz is probably a more likable guy. Let's just leave it there.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
But I'll say, you know, still from that, you know, Virginia Tech has increasingly become this season, and according to this article, and I wholeheartedly agree with it, a pain in the ass to the ACC.
Yeah.
You know, and it's much of the ACC right now. It's going to be the entire ACC next year. Doesn't mean that they're going to win a bunch of conference games, but with a full crop of talent. You know, to steal from Duke Basketball Report, you know, Tech's going to be a pain in the ass to the ACC next year.
They're going to take a step forward, major step forward, especially depending on who they can sign this spring. If they can bring in a legit big man this spring from the JUCO ranks or maybe a transfer from another school who's eligible to play right away, they can make major leaps and bounds next year. I really believe that. If you want to get an idea of how Buzz's teams play, watch Ahmed Hill play.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Buzz Williams guy. He might not be the most skilled player in the world right now. He does not have a mid-range game. There's a lot of his parts of his game that needs to be refined.
A little out of control.
It kind of reminds me of Bryant Matthews as far as being out of control back when he was a freshman. But it's one thing Ahmed Hill does is play his tail off every game. I mean, he is on the floor for loose balls. I mean, just a scrappy kid. Ahmed Hill, Malik Mueller, the way he's playing now, that guy's laying it on the line. That is how Buzz Williams teams play.
Absolutely. Virginia Tech Clemson tomorrow, Little John Coliseum, 12 o'clock tip. Let's get out. We'll come back. One more segment with Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com. Keep it locked. The Super Sports, 101.7.